Hello, my name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest on With Respect is Jamie Bingaman. Jamie is the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts, located in St. Joseph, Michigan, but it extends its influence from northern Indiana to the South Berrien County, Cass and Van Buren County. So it's a broad reach. But it's the important thing is it's a place for focusing people's interest and abilities and talents in art, many different kinds. At any rate, with respect, Jamie Bingaman. So, Jamie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, John.
Good. So, first question happens to everybody, which is, where are you from originally?
let's see. I'm from the east side of the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a town southwest of Flint called Fenton.
Oh, I know Fenton.
Fenton and Linden, yeah. Michigan, yeah. Is originally where I'm from. But I bounced around a lot growing up and went to a lot of different schools. I ended up going to Central Michigan University, and I graduated from Western Michigan University. So kind of covered the whole state.
Well, let's go back. All right. What were your interests when you were, say, in high school, grammar school, high school? Tell me about that.
Oh, that's a great question. Always very interested in English. That mm-hmm. was my big love. I loved writing. I loved reading poetry. So more the written arts was my thing. And then did a little bit, participate a little bit in track, but nothing. I wasn't too athletic. I was more into reading and writing. So.
Were you, first of all, mom, dad, what do they do? What about your brothers, sisters?
Whatever? I have one brother. He's 5 years younger than I am. He lives in St. Joe and is expecting, he and his wife are expecting their first baby. So that's exciting.
Oh, yeah, that is. Oh, yeah. Oh, right on.
And it's a girl. I have two boys, so I'm excited to have a niece. And then my father still lives over on the other side of the state in Grand Blanc, Michigan. He's mm-hmm. retired. He mm-hmm. retired from DuPont. He was an electrical engineer over at mm-hmm. DuPont. So,
okay.
Yeah. And my mother passed away when I was a teenager. So,
well, you started off with an interest in the written arts. I noticed you put the two of them together, writing and art together.
I do.
Why?
Because I believe it's an art form. I believe that writers are artists. We actually, at the Box, I know I'm jumping ahead a little, but we actually do have a writer's area, where a writer's studio section where it's just focused on the writers. And I do believe that it's an art form. So I do call it the written arts.
Did you ever publish anything?
I did in elementary school. I had some of my books.
That counts.
Some of my little stories made into books. We used cereal boxes for the cover, to make the covers and cover them. But no, nothing published.
What did you do in college or high school, which apart from just your study of English? And I talked about reading, mm-hmm. and you talked about a little track. Mm-hmm. But what kind of hobbies did you have?
I've always loved gardening. When I was in college, I worked for a florist all through college and loved working in the greenhouse and getting my fingernails dirty. I don't like to wear gloves, so I use scrub brushes a lot on my fingernails.
Yeah.
And I still love gardening. It's just so therapeutic. And like I said, I love to read. I love running. I'm really into running now, which is funny. It goes back to the track thing, which mm-hmm. I haven't really thought about that before. Right now in high school and college, it was more, I did a lot of reading, and that was about it.
All right. So you left college, you had a degree, and what happened after that?
So I left college. I had a degree. I actually met my husband, who I'm married to now, in college, and he's from St. Joe. So I moved to St. Joe and got married.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my degree was in English. I actually have a double major in English and communications with a minor in women's studies. And moved to the St. Joe area, and I actually started working for radio station, Midwest Family Broadcasting.
All right.
Worked with them in their traffic department, and which was, we were programming airtime, but it was called traffic. It wasn't really traffic, but we programmed the airtime, and did that for a while. And then I left there and went and worked for IPC Print Services, which is now Walsworth, and that's in St. Joe as well. They're a printing company, and I worked there for 11 years. And then I ended up, I was in their sales department and customer service and loved that job. But I ended up branching out on my own and opening up my own little consignment store, children's consignment clothing.
So where was that?
That was in St. Joe. It was over near Panera Bread in the strip mall there. It was called Roundabouts. And I had that for a year. And then I had an opportunity to go work for one of the publishing companies that used to be my customer when I was at IPC. They were out of Chicago. It was called Law Bulletin Publishing.
I know it.
And I went to, oh yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And so I went and worked for Law Bulletin Publishing for a year. And then got offered a position at, this is crazy how I'm going to tell you all these jobs I've had.
Oh, that's right.
So I left Law Bulletin Publishing and went and worked at Four Winds in their legal department.
I'll be darned.
And then had the opportunity to go work at Krazzle Arts Center. And I snatched it up because I was excited to go kind of delve back into the arts a little bit and get out of law and back into the arts.
Well, law is an acquired taste or a natural taste, but mostly an acquired taste.
And are you saying legal arts? Is that what it is?
Legal arts, that's right. And I'll tell you that I got it by accident, by birth. My dad was a lawyer, my uncles were a lawyer, my grandfather, and all that sort of stuff. As I tell people, it's a genetic fault in our family. You know? And I almost escaped, did something else. But I just talked to somebody yesterday who was telling me that she was the daughter of a lawyer and that he, from the very first day he was born, he said, loved the idea of being a lawyer and woke up every morning saying, what a great thing it is, and tried to get her to become a lawyer. And she said, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And but the concept is if you find something that you like that really grooves with your psyche, with your condition, wherever you're at in life, you're a lucky person. If your hobby is your work and your work is your hobby, as my mother used to say, you're a blessed person.
So, 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
100%. So,
now, but unfortunately, many people, many of us, get into positions where that doesn't happen. You're just doing something because it's a living or because, you know, you're working for a friend or family or whatever it is. But it's when you find your passion. That's the fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
I totally agree.
So, you went to work for the Box Factory for the Arts. What the heck is the Box Factory for the Arts?
The Box Factory for the Arts is it is actually used to be the building itself. I'll tell you a little bit about the building itself, and then that will lead us into what it is. The building itself used to be a box factory. They made decorative boxes, Tiffany boxes. They weren't just making like the corrugated boxes. They were making very high-end, beautiful boxes there. And it closed, or actually moved down to South Bend. And so the facility in St. Joe was closed. And some folks had an opportunity to buy it, and we can get into that. But the Berrien Artists Guild had an opportunity to purchase this building, and they did. And so now the box, they changed it, which I love the word change. I love change.
Mm-hmm.
So they took it and molded it into a building full of artist studios and spaces for the community to come and enjoy art and for artists to come and work with one another and put their heads together and bounce things off each other. So it's a space for artists, and it's a space for the community to come and enjoy artists. We have 48 studios, and there's some commercial spaces in there. And then, but there's 48 studios and about 52 artists in there because some of them share studios.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let's get into a couple of things. First of all, I'm one of those commercial spaces that's there.
Yes, you are.
We have our branch office in St. Joe in the Box Factory up on the third floor, along with Deborah Burries, who is the main tenant of the building. And then she shares space with us and up in Grand Rapids, and so it's a nice arrangement. But I never thought, by the way, in my wildest dreams, that I would be practicing law in an art gallery or in an art factory. But it's great. It turned out absolutely great. The building is a great place to work, even if you're not an artist. Now, having said all that, somehow I got hooked up into becoming a member of the board of directors of the Box Factory for the Arts, or the Berrien Artists Guild, which is the group that bought and owned this building. And I found it absolutely fascinating because it constantly brings me into a world that I'm not used to every day, which is art, artists, how they organize themselves, how they produce their work, where there is a synergistic relationship among the artists themselves and the business people who have to run it. Because one of the things that when you're 12 years old and you're sketching your first face or your first landscape, and you say, I want to be an artist. I want to be a painter. And lo and behold, you find out your parents say to you, that's a great idea, Jamie or John. But now, how are you going to put food on your table? Mm-hmm. How are you going to have a house, a home, a family? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, all of a sudden, business becomes important, and the business of being an artist. And so one of the things that I have learned is to watch how artists become often entrepreneurs, and they run their own businesses, or they in conjunction with somebody else. And in the case of the Box Factory, there's this, as I said before, synergistic relationship between the artists and the business end of the program, which we're going to be talking about. But all this is fascinating and new to me. But it sounds like that you started off with the idea that you like a particular art form and have now moved into taking your business experience, and now you're into both business and expanding your view of the arts.
Absolutely.
Have I just summarized your
whole
life?
You have. Thank you. You know, it's funny you talk about, you know, when you're 12 years old and draw your first landscape and bah, and I would love to be able to be an artist. And mm-hmm. I just had this conversation with someone yesterday where I said, I'm not an artist, visual artist, but I so appreciate the arts. I so appreciate walking through that space, and whether it's walking through our galleries or walking past the studios and seeing that talent. It's just amazing, and it's something that I wish I could do. But yes, it's important to be able to support for those artists to be able to support not just themselves but one another. They're a very supportive community, and I think it is because they have a hard time with, you know, how do you make a living doing mm-hmm, this? And mm-hmm. so they really do rely on one another and rely on the artistic community and the community as a whole. And so that's what we want to do at the Box, is kind of give a way for those entities to merge and be able to see one another and appreciate one another and help one another.
One of the things that, first of all, I had a period in my life for a couple of years when I was a teenager, and I thought art was great, and I tried to paint, and I used all different kinds of either watercolor or oil or just sketching. And I loved it. It was great. Unfortunately, I had a greater desire, and that was baseball and sports. And so that took over. That became my passion. But I've always been interested, and I, just like you, I'm fascinated by people who can translate what they see or what they feel or what they hear into some sort of visual or oral interpretation. And we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But I do have this latent urge. Like, I used to be a baseball player, and I wish I could play in the majors. But I also wanted to be an artist a little bit. But I wanted baseball more. We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Jamie Bingaman, who is the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph, Michigan. We'll be right back. This is With Respect, and this is John Smetanka. We're now back on With Respect with Jamie Bingham, the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph. We've been talking about how, in both in her background and mine, actually, we both had this latent kind of artistic gene there somewhere, but life took us in different directions, and now it circles around again. So we're back to art and business and everything else. So this is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect. So, Jamie, when we broke, I was just telling you that there's this short period of time when I was going to be a landscape artist. That was all I could do, is landscapes. I couldn't do faces. I couldn't do all that stuff. And I looked at this when I started later on in life with looking at Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and all these, and I see these figures, these circles. And I remember I took an art class once, and they told me about how you always start with a circle to start with a face, a series of circles. And I thought, oh, this is too geometric for me. I'm sorry, I'm out of here. You know, I just want scrolls. I want colors and all that. But anyway, so back to you now. You became the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts. What does that mean, and what does it do? You've talked about the history of the Box Factory. You've talked about this. I use the word synergistic. Relationship between the various artists and the business side versus the artistic side. What do you do? How do you, as the executive director, have a foot in both these camps?
Yeah, I actually, that's a very interesting question. I actually have my hat in a lot of rings. I'm at every facility, every not-for-profit especially, executive directors do so many different things. And with the Box Factory being what it is, you know, I'm a landlord. You know, we have tenants, so I support the tenants. We have members of the Berrien Artists Guild that I answer to, you know, to them as well. We have community folks that come in, which is very interesting this time of year during the summertime, because we really get a lot of people from out of town who have heard about us that come in. And so you're talking to the community and, you know, and beyond, folks who have ideas and thoughts and feedback. We're juggling changes. We're always trying to look at growing and how we can reach more people. And so, you know, you're always trying to look ahead, but yet you still want to embrace the past and the history of the Berrien Artists Guild as well, because that's important. That's important to the artists. The vision that they had when they started, started this organization is something that we need to make sure that we embrace and continue forward. And you know that. We talk about that a lot in our board meetings. So I kind of throw my hat into a lot of rings, and we're very small staffed, so... we are supporting one another. And so I'm always doing a little bit of what our event and marketing manager is doing. I'm always doing a little bit of what our office manager is doing. And we're all kind of supporting one another all the time. I don't get a lot of days off or nights off. So, but when you talk about passion, it's truly a passion for me. I have grown to love the Box Factory and care a lot about the people that are in it and the organization as a whole and the success of this organization. So it's something that I am very passionate about and don't have a problem with having to throw my hat into all those rings. My family sometimes does because I'm gone so much, but other than that, yeah.
Well, one of the things that organizing trial lawyers can be difficult. Why can it be difficult? Because almost by definition, a trial lawyer is, I call it organizing kittens with big egos. So they're all over the place, and they resist being
in the box.
In the box. That's exactly right.
They want out.
However, but they're often people. So this is an interesting mix of the artist versus the let's say the business person. But you're bringing together or managing, you're not really running their businesses, you're facilitating them in running their practice of, in this case, of painting or sculpture or whatever it is. And to the extent that they want to make this their living, making a living.
Absolutely.
That's a difficult thing. Your footing has to be somewhat unsure at times because of the conflicting, the individualistic artist versus the business person.
Absolutely. And I think it's conflicting for them as well. I think it's tough for someone that, you know, that is an artist that is passionate about their art and they want to focus on their art. That's tough for them to, you know, be able to focus on the business aspect of it. A lot of them, like you were talking about drawing and doing your landscapes, they just want to be able to focus on that. And so I want to do as much as I can to support them, but it is a tough thing to kind of be able to balance the two. But if the box is successful, the Box Factory is successful, then the artists within the Box Factory will be successful. And so my job, sometimes I still have to focus on that individual part of it, but I also have to make sure that I'm focusing on the business as a whole and making sure that we are successful as a business and still, you know, interesting to the community and drumming up, you know, the interest of folks that want to come in and see not only an individual artist, but all the artists or the box as a whole. So,
what are some of the kinds of ways that you interact with the public, where the Box Factory or the artists therein interact with the public? How does that?
So we have a lot of people that come in the doors to see the box and tour and walk through and see the artists and look in the studios. We have a gift shop that's been recently renovated. It's called the Art Market, and that is we feature art not just from the studio artists but from anyone that's a member of the Box Factory. So anyone that wants to become a member of the box is welcome to become a member of this. It's actually the Berrien Artists Guild. If you're a member of the Berrien Artists Guild, then you can display your artwork in the Art Market, and so that is a draw. We have facilities that are available for rent, so for weddings and things like that. We have some facilities that are available for rent. We have three beautiful galleries in our space, two on our street level, which is our second floor, and one on the river level, which is our first floor. The building itself, I didn't mention earlier, it's 52,000 square feet. We have three floors. It's a beautiful facility. Exposed brick, exposed wood beams, hardwood floors. So the building itself is a work of art. It really is. You come in and see the architecture in the building, and anyone that appreciates architecture, I have so many people that give us feedback on the building. Every day I hear, this building is amazing. This building is so cool. So the people that come in and appreciate that, as well as then you get to see the art that's within the building, too. So,
do you have special events that focus on some particular artist or theory or area of art?
We do. We have in our galleries, we have shows going on all the time, different openings, different exhibitions that are going on. Those are on our website.
You have a website.
BoxFactoryForTheArts.org.
That's www.BoxFactoryForTheArts.org.
Correct.
And the org is because you are a not-for-profit.
Exactly.
All right. And that, we're going to talk about how making a building live includes not just having people, but having food, which is the money that you use to support, to pay the light bills, to pay the heat and whatnot.
Correct. Yeah.
But let's go back to, pardon me, what kind of other their activities do you have?
Sure. There? So we have some classes that we're always trying to focus on different types of art. So we are we do culinary classes. We have some theatrical classes. We have getting in a little bit more back into photography classes. We have writers groups that meet. We have some portrait classes that some of the artists that are within the building hold. So we offer a wide range, and we really want to encompass as much of the arts as a whole, and offer something, a little something for everyone. We have events, community events in the space, so like Pecha Kucha.
Pecha Kucha.
Love Pecha Kucha. We have Pecha Kucha there a couple times a year. We work with the St. Joe Pecha Kucha group and have events there of theirs. We have a lot of not-for-profits in our area hold their fundraisers at our space. We have our own concerts. We have concerts a couple nights a month. We call those Unwrapped at the Box, and we try and embrace as many different types of music that we can, so we're doing that as well. Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's always something going on at the Box. So
now, I don't want to necessarily talk about specific dollars and cents, but your support to allow all this to happen comes from many different sources.
It does.
So the dollars and cents are not that important in this context, but where do they come from?
We have sources, obviously, as any not-for-profit, you have sponsors and donors. We have members. Our membership fees help to support that. For us, we're very fortunate that we have the tenants in our building, so our rent helps support us. Sales at our gift shop are important. And then when we have events, we can, sometimes we charge at the door for certain things, so we make money off that. And then grants, as a lot of not-for-profits know, we write grants and hope that we get them.
And the state of Michigan does provide some funding.
They do.
For all kinds of art and writing. I know that there's grants that go out to writers that produce certain kinds of historical works, especially. But we get a grant here at the Box Factory, which doesn't pay for everything, but it helps out on the edges. So you are not only, it seems to me, a facilitator of people who are great artists or striving to be great artists. You are also a business person, having to make money appear that will pay for things that are necessary to help the artists function. But all this is done in a context of it's voluntary. It's not, you don't get to charge, you don't tax people. There's no tax except for the grants that come from the state. You don't survive on taxes from the some of our schools do or whatnot. It's an interesting process that you're balancing. All right. Now, in addition to the nitty gritty of producing a viable institution. You've got this solid and beautiful, interesting building. You also have the dynamics of the people within the building. And we're going to be talking in a minute about some of those people and what they produce and what if I walked into the box factory as a stranger, what would I see and how would I go about finding the art that I'm interested in. But right now we're going to take a break. We're talking to Jamie Bingaman, who is the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts. And Jamie has been doing this now for several years and is telling us about how the nitty-gritty, the interesting parts of how you mesh art with business and reality. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect. We'll be right back. Now back in With Respect with Jamie Bingaman, the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph. This is John Smetanka, and we're on With Respect. And by the way, what is the address if someone is driving around aimlessly in St. Joe? How would they go about finding?
Well, driving aimlessly in St. Joe isn't a bad thing because you'll end up near the water usually in a beach. Yeah. But we are actually located near downtown St. Joe. We're at 1101 Broad Street.
Okay. So it's just down the street and down the hill from the City Hall.
It is.
In downtown, beautiful downtown St. Joseph.
Yes, it is.
All right. How long has the Box Factory been operating? Do you know?
So the Bering Artists Guild, which owns the Box Factory, had started back in the early 60s. I believe it was 1962. And they purchased the Box Factory building in 1996. So.
Okay.
Yeah, 30 years. Is that right?
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Right?
Now, 20 years? What kind of artists are we going to find? If I was to walk in to the Box Factory off of Broad Street, what am I going to see? And who might be there?
Well, when you come in the front door, you're going to see a beautiful building. That's the first thing you'll see. You'll walk in and you'll see you'll come into our main stage, street level main stage space. We have a stage there. We have a little, what used to be a cafe. We actually do have a commercial kitchen space. We have two galleries, the Williams Gallery, Bob Williams Gallery, and the Hertha Whitlow Gallery. And then we have our art market there. So you'll be greeted by one of our wonderful volunteers. We have some great volunteers who we would not be able to function without them. So thank you to our volunteers. You'll be greeted by one of our wonderful volunteers, and they will welcome you to wander the building. We love to have people come in and wander the building. That's what we're there for. And around every corner and every nook and cranny, and there are a lot of them, you will find something amazing that's focused on art of some sort. On our street level space, which is off of the main drag there, off of Broad Street, we have mostly visual artists. We also have our guest classroom, which is in the back of the space. And we have the studios that are surrounding that space, like I said, are visual artists. A lot of painters, mostly painters. We have one digital artist, and then we have a couple photographers on that second floor. And then if you go downstairs to our river level, which there's a back entrance to the building that is kind of near the St. Joe River there, you'll come into the river level of our space. And there are a lot of several artists on that floor as well. Mostly we have some kilns down there. So we have some ceramic artists, jewelry artists. We have a pewter artist, a stained glass artist, a graphic artist. And we also have some fabric artists on that floor. So that's a really interesting floor on the river level. There's a lot of a mesh of different artists there. We also have our library there, which is it's the Barbara Willey Library, and that is focused on, it's a library containing all books on art, different genres of art. And then if you go upstairs, which is where your space is, John, up to the third floor, which we call the sky level, we have a lot of commercial spaces up there. But then we also have our writers hallway up there where we call it kind of the writer's quad. And so that's kind of a quieter area up there where the writers can kind of focus on what they're doing. We have some photographers up there as well. And then we have a conference room that is available for rent to the community to use. And then at the opposite end of that building, the south end, we have a large space that we're actually working on converting into a beautiful rental space as well. So that used to be rented, leased by Whirlpool at one time. And so it's right now currently kind of set up as an office space. And so we've removed the cubicles and we're getting ready to renovate that into a beautiful space that can be used by our community.
I saw that space up on the third floor transformed during a fundraiser into a wild dance floor. I was fascinated to see who in the community was doing what dancing. And someone asked me to dance, and I said, I don't ask. I don't dance. Don't ask me.
It's amazing what people will do when you get one of those globes
the strobe
lights and some good music.
All their inhibitions.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. That was a fun event.
Yeah,
it was. Arts Bash. Yeah.
Now, I want to go back down to to all those parts where there are actually artists of all kinds functioning, and you've mentioned art, painting, sculpture, sketching, various other kinds of art, photography, digital, and we'll get back into the digital in just a minute, because I find that interesting. But if you're inviting the public to walk around and wander around, I thought artists wanted to be kept alone so they could concentrate. But you're saying that they're actually wanting to have people come around?
They love having people come in. If you're an artist in our space, one of the things that our artists in the building know is when people come in the door, we tell them if an artist studio door, if their door is open, they want you to come in. So if you want to be left alone, you kind of close your door, and we let people know when they come through that if the door is closed, they don't go in. But if the door is open, and most of our I don't know any artist that when they're in the building does not have their door open. They love to have, they welcome that. That kind of goes back, I think, to the business aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Those are their clientele. Those are their prospective customers. Mm-hmm. So they want that door open. It's their business, and they want to have their door open and have those folks come through. So
we've had, on this show, we've had a couple of the artists that have studios there. And in each case, I always am surprised at how people drift into art for a serious avocation or for a business. This is true of basically anybody. It's true in my life as far as law and whatever else I've done. Often I just drift into something by accident. There's a telephone call, and I always tell people, I don't plan my life. It's fascinating because it's a telephone call or it's a happenstance, and it's something I just like all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And I, in talking to whether it's artists or authors, often I find that it is the result of zigzags through their life. The zigs they go, they start here and point one at age five, and they have one interest, and it may be really inarticulate at that time, but they move on in high school and college. That's why I asked you about your high school and college, because the interesting thing about people, and artists are just as like anyone else, is we are often, when I say often, I think in this show, there may be five people in 12 years that have gone on a straight line from what they started with at age five straight on through to what they're doing successfully at age 30, 40, 60, 80, whatever it is. Most of us go zigzag. We take turns, marriage, death, illnesses, children, everything takes us in different directions. Often, I've been surprised, and it's happened, I guess, in my life, I've reflected on what I've done, or other people reflect, and you say, gee, if I hadn't taken those zigzags, I could have been much better if I just went straight for what I wanted. But the answer is, really, the zigzags make you interesting.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's a chance you blossom. All that, you're working with a law bulletin, you're working with a radio station, you're working with the various companies and businesses you've worked with, makes you attuned to business, the business aspect of what you love, which is art. It's a fascinating thing how we build a quiver of arrows, which are the talents that we bring to anything we do. And they come from those zigs and zags.
And I think I love that analogy, the quiver of arrows. I think, though, that you have to be brave enough to use them. I think there's a lot of people who are afraid of those zigs and zags. They don't embrace the change. And so for me, when I was talking earlier about growing up and moving, I moved a lot. I went to a lot of different schools growing up. I think that helped me develop a comfort in having things not be the straight arrow, having things zig and zag. I'm not afraid to analyze something and figure out what would be the best way. What's the best thing to do, and not be afraid to take that change, not just in my life, but I'm talking even about the box, you know, about the box as a whole. You come in and say, what things need to be different here so that we are able to grow and we are able to attract the interest of other people. And let's figure out what the best way to do that is and embrace that change and move forward with it. And so that's a zig and a zag. And some people are afraid to take those arrows out and use them, and some people aren't. So,
you know, it's interesting, too. I'm going to take your favorite avocation, which is reading. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take you. And I'm going to tell you that people go through, and we laugh about this, I'm on a science fiction jag, or I'm on a study of the Civil War. And these are some things that took up a lot of periods. I'm on novels. I love the Alan First mystery novels and so on. Society does the same thing. And so, for example, the artist today who is wallowing in self-examination, why are people not looking at my art form? All of a sudden, they can be, if they stick at it, they can all of a sudden be what everybody wants.
Sure.
People who are dribs and drabs into various art forms or activities, once the public's attention turns to this to them, they find them, they discover them, and they say, well, where have you been?
Right.
And the answer is, I've been working hard. I'm trying to get my work.
I've been in my studio.
That's right.
Doing this.
There's a great movie, Midnight in Paris. I don't know if you saw it, but the character, one of the characters, is Gertrude Stein, and she is plays this American guy out of time, walks into her studio or her home studio, and he sees Picasso and Matisse and whatnot. And they're negotiating for the purchase of some Impressionist pictures in front of her. And she said, is it okay? Do you think it would be a good investment to pay 500 francs for this piece by Picasso? And this guy, the American who knows what Picasso became, says, oh, yeah, that's a great. So we're looking, you've got individual artists in your in the box factory. Can you give us some names? I hate to be particular. I know that it's going to be difficult because by mentioning a couple, you're going to be neglecting others. But let's take McDonald. There was an artist there, a portrait artist, who is now deceased, so it's safe. Okay. But he did some magnificent work that's still sitting there.
Yes. Tim McDonald.
Tim McDonald,
yes,
yeah.
He was an amazing artist. He was an amazing talent. And we actually had a show for him at the box in memoriam of him and got to see some of his art. But yes, he really branched out. He did beer steins for Budweiser. He did a lot of... he did some graphic art, I know, in South Bend. He, you know, back in the 90s, he worked in graphic arts in South Bend. But he was an amazing, amazing talent. And he did end up doing a lot of portraits. They were very realistic portraits. And he was an amazing artist that I wish I could have. He left the box before he passed away before I was at the box. So I hear amazing stories about his form of art and his, you know, the ways that he would go about doing, you know, producing his work. And I wish I could have seen him more in action. So,
well, he was a guest on one of our shows, and I enjoyed that because of just the various things you mentioned. That is how he moved from one form, from one place to another, and ended up as this realistic portrait artist who made amazing work and was an amazing person.
Yes.
We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Jamie Bingaman, who is the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph. And we're going to be talking now more about how art relates to the community. And in this community, I talk about all of Berrien County and northern Indiana and whatnot. How it all ties together. This is John Smetanker on With Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Jamie Bingaman, the executive director of the Box Factory for the Arts. And this is John Smetanka, I'm a KRR also. And Jamie, when we broke, I promised we were going to talk about the community as a whole. Now, the Box Factory is not the only place in our community, in our broad community, covering the area I talked about, where art is fostered. How do we? What other facilities are out there? The groupings
my gosh.
Of people.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have a lot of amazing art facilities. In fact, I hear that a lot from folks that are from out of town that come in and just say it's amazing how Southwest Michigan, Northwest Indiana, how they embrace how much we embrace the arts, and it's really interesting for folks who come in here from out of town, but also for our community members. You know, whether you're like you and I who just appreciate the arts, or you're a budding artist, we have Water Street Glassworks, which is in Benton Harbor. We have the Krazzle Art Center, which is also in St. Joseph. There's numerous places down, you know, even in Harbor Country, we have quite a few, and down near into Indiana. And of course, up near Grand Rapids, they have Art Hop and Embrace the Arts as well up there. A lot of facilities up there. There are some facilities actually that are in the Kalamazoo area and Grand Rapids and South Bend that are similar to the Box Factory that have studio spaces available for artists. And our old renovated buildings that they're rehabbing and making into spaces for artists. We also have a beautiful arts district in Benton Harbor as a whole that has the Citadel, which focuses on music, and some other spaces as well. So there's a lot. There's a lot in our community that you can, you know, if you have a love of the arts, there's something for you out there.
In Harbor Country, we have something called Art Attack. And that is focused in the right along the Lake Harbert, Harbert, Sawyer, Union Pier, New Buffalo. However, it draws people from all over. It's a pastiche of walking from or driving from facility to facility.
Sure.
To see different artists. It's, you know, if you come to that, you see art, but you also see how there are artists who spring up in various parts of this beautiful community.
That's the greatest part about driving down Red Arrow Highway, in addition to the antique shops, that's another passion of mine. I love antiquing. But are the galleries. I mean, there's just so many wonderful galleries. Mm-hmm. Just you could, you know, drive 100 yards and stop and go into another space. And they are all welcoming. They all want the public to come in and see their space. That's what, you know, helps the artist survive. So, yeah.
The interrelationship, however, between artists and these various facilities can be just like any other institutions in our society, they can either be hostile or they can be cooperative. My guess is, my observation is that in our area it is pretty cooperative, that the various, the Crassel and the Box Factory and the Waterworks, I'm sorry, the Glassworks rather, and they do tend to work together because it's in their mutual interest to work together.
Absolutely. You know, we are all part of this arts community. We are all supportive of the arts and want to do whatever we can to promote the arts. But we also all focus on really different things. And so it's important for us to each keep our focus on what we're focusing on while supporting each other. You know, the Crassel does a great job of bringing, you know, nationally known artists into our community that we wouldn't normally get to see. The Water Street Glassworks helps develop beautiful art, you know, glass art for, and helps work with children and developing their, you know, their passion for that. The Box Factory, the intent with, you know, with the Bering Artists Guild kind of reflects what our mission is anyway. It's, you know, nurturing the arts and creativity. We want to nurture local artists. We want to do what we can to promote local arts to our community and find that connection between the artist and the community. And that's an important job for our space.
All right. Help me with this. When schools begin to run out of funding, they go back to basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yes.
One of the first things to go is arts.
Yes.
One of the second things to go is pay-as-you-go sports and field trips and anything which doesn't...
Anything that makes school fun.
Anything which makes school fun. All right, that's fair. It used to be recess. Now it is just... Okay. What is the value to art for a society and for people? I mean, reading, writing, and arithmetic are far more basic and far more important, I'm going to put it to you, than painting. Mm.
That's funny. So
is that true? Or?
It is not true.
Oh.
You knew I was going to say that.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
So, you know, it's funny. We have a student art show that is available through our Bering County RESA, and it's for the Bering County school districts. And the art teachers in those school districts bring their art, the students' art, and they select their top students. And we have a show, and it's an opportunity for these students. We do an elementary show, and then we do a middle school and high school show. And we work with the Crassel, and we work with Bering RESA on this. And it's an opportunity for those students to get to show their art and in a gallery setting and have their own show. And they come in with their parents and grandparents, and it's an amazing, amazing opportunity and really, really neat to see. One of the things that at the opening of the elementary school art show that I talked about was how art touches so many different aspects of learning. Art is utilized, I mean, every time when you look at, you know, a vehicle or you go around and look at all parts of your life, they started with art. I mean, things that were designed and engineering and, you know, it all starts with being able to have that spark in your mind and that imagination and having a teacher somewhere along the way that fostered that and encouraged it. And a lot of the times it's an art teacher that encourages those people to use their imagination and move forward with that thought and those drawings or whatever you had in your mind and develop it from there. I do believe art, I know art touches science and arithmetic somehow, and of course reading. I believe art, you know, is an important element of reading and writing. So
All right. So I think what your mission then is to make a business, a not-for-profit business, which develops a base resource for this community that fosters creation and appreciation of art.
Absolutely. Nurtures it.
So when there's a school district that is struggling with how are they, you know, what are they going to do to keep all of their resources, all of their teachers, the wide range of things that we'd love to have in our schools. So are you going to go out and talk to these people and tell them, look, don't ignore art?
We would love to do that, but I think there's a lot of people in politics and government that are trying to do that, and they're not being heard either. So I don't know if my voice is going to make a difference. But one thing that we have talked about doing with Bering County RESA is at least being able to support the art teachers and give them, a lot of them don't have the resources because, like you said, that's the first thing where when budget cuts come, they cut the budgets of the art. So they may still have the art teacher, but these teachers don't have the resources that they need to teach even these elementary school classes. You know, we had some of these pieces of art that came in where all these art teachers had for resources were crayons. They didn't mm-hmm. have, and then you'd have another school district that was hanging on a panel next to them that you can tell that they have abundant resources. Or another school district that has limited resources that has come up with creative ways, whether it's recycled art or other ways that they can utilize to create art besides just the crayons. So we realized, and these art teachers even said to us at the opening, you know, you'd see them talking to one another, and they really need a space for them to come together and bounce ideas off each other and have that support. And so we have actually talked with Bering RESA about being able to provide support for them, not only as a space for them to talk to one another, but also for them to tell us what their needs are. A lot of people want to help, and they want to, you know, whether it's donate or, you know, bring, okay, if we're going to do recycled art, we'll save all of our milk caps and bring our milk caps in, and you can do milk cap art or empty pizza. You would be shocked at what they can utilize, what they can utilize to make art nowadays. So it's amazing.
One of the things that is almost universal in the people that I've talked to over the past 12 years on the show is this. They say that there is one person, or maybe two or three, who got under their skin and into their heads and into their souls and opened up, turned on a light that changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of getting teachers to have better resources to turn on those lights, whether it's in art or it's in science or it's in whatever the field that we need for our young people to get excited for, is so important. This is the foundation of us surviving as a culture, as a country.
Absolutely.
Who was the person that most influenced you?
Wow. As you were saying that, I was trying to think that. And you know, it was a teacher.
Huh?
It was an elementary school teacher, and she was my third grade teacher. And she had, it goes back to my reading and writing, but she really encouraged us and really turned me on to reading and writing and taught us about the passion of Shakespeare, actually.
So, there you go.
Mrs. Johnson, I'll never forget you.
mine was my third grade teacher was the first, mm-hmm. and she turned me on to history.
Oh, sure.
And I could go through, and I can tell you that in high school I had my English teacher was a remarkable, remarkable human being, extremely talented, and influenced me, not only me, but many other people in my group, of my class and other classes, to go on to do things remarkable. But unfortunately, we are now out of time. And so thank you very much, Jamie Bingaman, for being on our show and talking about your work, your passion, which is the Box Factory for the Arts in St. Joseph. Now, we are on With Respect. We're on every Sunday and Thursday. And until next time, remember our mantra. If you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.